All right, episode, I don't even know what it is, of the Sports Blizzard. We're back for another weekly segment of the Sports Blizzard. Everybody, we run through our sponsors real quick. Everybody, brought to you tonight by Miller Lite. If you're drinking beer, you are drinking Miller Lite. If you're drinking beer and you're not drinking Miller Lite, you're drinking Yards. We're looking at the beautiful new brewery on Spring Garden Street from high atop our beautiful Northern Liberty studio. If beer is not your choice and vodka is, make sure you're drinking Stateside Vodka, distilled right here in beautiful Philadelphia, the Fishtown area. Our good friends there have been taking care of us for years, and they are excellent friends of the program, so make sure that you support them. Bucks County Baseball Company, way to light them up. They gave us the $25 Cyber Monday discount.
Yeah.
Oh, God, JP is still talking about it, so we appreciate that. If you haven't checked them out, make sure you do. Their online store is bigger than their actual store, which is difficult to believe. BucksCountyBaseballCO.com. Of course, our good friend Mike McVay over at 422 Jeep Limerick, who is an official sponsor again for the calendar. If you're going to do it with your top off, baby. Go in, talk in sports. Walk out with a brand new Jeep. Don't forget about our friends at Cavanaugh's Restaurants. Riverdeck is closed for the season, but will be open again back at the end of April. Head House down off of South Street, our good friends over at Cavs Rittenhouse. Our friend Paul working the basement bar. And, of course, Diaz and I, our old stomping ground in University City, the 39th and Sansom Cavanaugh's. Go see Brian over there. Don't forget about our beautiful Delilah's girls who have been rocking our tailgate.
Yeah.
By the way, I've got a shitload of Delilah's sunglasses right now, and I'm walking out with one tonight. I'm not going to lie.
A beautiful Delilah's girl or a pair of sunglasses?
Yes.
Okay.
A little bit of both.
Yes. Don't forget about our friends in Manioc, Bourbon Blue at the bottom of the hill, number 2 Rector Street at the top of the hill, the Bayou and Cactus, friends of ours for a very long time, and of course the Manioc Sport and Social Club. Everything that you want sports-wise in an intramural league and more, check them out. And of course our good friend Ken Davies over at City Fitness Philadelphia. Locations in Northern Liberties, Graduate Hospital, South Philly, Fishtown, Logan Square, and Market East. Let me introduce the panel here. Gentlemen, always a pleasure to see you. How's everybody doing this evening?
Pretty good, pretty good.
Pretty good.
Long time, man.
I know, it seems like it, right?
Been like a month.
We had to have well, you haven't been here in a
That's
while.
That's right. I've been processing down at the Wells Fargo Center.
I thought you were about to say you were prostituting down at the Wells Fargo Center. Hey, it's probably the same thing.
Yeah, pretty close. JoJo's playing.
We do not have Hollis in the house tonight. He is with family in St. Louis. Hope Mama Thomas is okay. And Brother Thomas, we send our love and prayers out for a speedy recovery over there. We do have Pops in All studio right. with us. How are you tonight, brother?
I'm pretty good.
Good. Thank God we have our basketball expert here.
Yeah. Differencing of opinion doesn't mean you're wrong.
Well, differencing of opinion means you need to learn the English language again. And, of course, we've got Rex on my left. How you doing, brother?
Good, man. Good to see you again.
Good to be seen, even though that's not difficult from most areas of the city. And, of course, our soon-to-be-fired 76ers correspondent, Michael Diaz.
What's up, yo?
What's
TTP.
Up? TTP. He sounded a little disturbed there that time. It wasn't TTP.
It was like TP.
Something he's going to wipe his ass with. And my best friend sitting in tonight, coming up to take me out for a birthday dinner. I appreciate it. Tony Palmer, how are you doing this evening?
Thank you. Thank you for the warm welcome.
Please. Happy that you're here every single time. So tonight's episode, we've got a lot to get to, and it's a tough week right now. I think we can all agree. We're not going to jump into the Eagles first. We always want to hold off until that as our last segment. But as you may know, we didn't get too many calls in our favor, and we certainly didn't get any fucking bounces in our favor on Sunday. And as a precursor for our Eagles conversation, that's just been all season. And we might have to finally accept that we all said, hey, we'll sell our soul and a shitty season to get a Super Bowl last year, and guess what?
We got it.
Whoever's running the fucking show cashed in on that chip.
Still worth it.
Yeah,
still
totally worth it. I said the same thing on Monday or Tuesday. The Rasul Douglas, who had a great game.
I thought he had an excellent
game. a future Eagle safety, Rasul Douglas. That last play of the game where he tipped the ball and went in. Last year, that ball goes to Malcolm Jenkins, who runs for a touchdown.
Yeah, that's 6 points. Yes,
right. And it also kind of – this whole season – I know we're not starting off Eagle strong here, but it also kind of makes you realize that, you know, even when you have the best team, you know, whether that be the Rams or the Saints or the Chiefs this year, you have to have a little bit of luck. You know, making some timely play calls that pay off. You know, a play call that doesn't pay off, you know, everyone wants to fire everybody. But the same play, if it works, they look like geniuses. And sometimes you just need that. That's that missing component on teams that are built to win, that are strong, that are favored to win and don't.
100%, man. I tend to like to disagree with you, but I can't on anything you just said there. There's an element of luck that has to take place.
That bounce was the Eagles' season in a nutshell.
It was.
Yeah. Are you talking about the first fumble?
No, we're talking about the bad calls.
I'm talking about the deflected pass.
Yeah. We're going to get into the no calls in AT&T Stadium later.
Yeah. That could be a whole show for real on no calls, because every time you look up, the first thing you hear is, we got a superstar panel of referees. And they miss or just fail a call. So many calls, it's ridiculous. And this is not the first night, not just because it's the Eagles. It started probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago. I forget who was playing, but it might have been
No, it was Rams and Kansas City, 100%.
Yes. That was the first one.
And because they put together this. Because
all-star referee.
Yeah, because it was supposed to be calls. In Mexico City.
Yep.
And they put this all-star cast of referees together, and it was dog shit.
It was horrible.
Dog shit.
The stuff that should have been called 100%, wasn't.
100%, man.
And the things that were called should not have been called.
And I think, again, without getting too much into football in the beginning of our show, I think somebody really has to start evaluating whether or not the speed of the game is starting to become too much for the human eye to catch.
Well, I mean, that's understandable. But when you have all this technology where you see everything happen in an instant, it's just – it's like,
why are you not using it?
You gotta be kidding me. You can put a call in New York to say, hey, this was this or this was that 24/7. I get that you're delaying the game, but if you're making bad calls, you're still compromising the integrity of the game in a nutshell. And then you can't criticize them. It's like, if you say something, it's like, oh my God, $15,000 fine for criticizing the referee.
Yeah.
He was wrong. America knew he was wrong. He come back and apologize for it, and you call him out for being wrong, then
you
have to pay $15,000, if not more.
I did love the fact that Malcolm said you got to lay off the bottle.
Yeah, yeah. It's great. Yeah. I can actually, you know, the Goddard play, you know, it's the speed of the game, okay? And there are bad calls, and I can forgive that. That fumble play, though, I mean, the explanation. Oh, there was a fumble. We can't tell which one of the six Eagles recovered it. It's unacceptable.
Couldn't tell under the pile of six Eagles which.
Yes, it was a nest of birds.
You know,
a nest of birds.
You know, the speed of the game is too fast a lot of times to make the right call. And Goddard did not have offensive pass interference, which is rarely called. But
even considering Amari Cooper was pushing off all fucking night.
But I'll let that go. The explanation that they couldn't find a clear recovery. I mean, I've never even that ever happened? And especially, like, you know what? How it should go? While the head ref is going over to the tent to call New York, whatever, New York should already have the answer.
Right.
It's like, okay, there you go. Well, that's how long you get. No 45 seconds or anything like that. It was so obvious.
And they contradicted themselves when they picked up the flag, and the head official got on and said, Philadelphia's challenged the ruling on the field that the runner was down by contact.
And it's like, what?
Okay, so if you don't know who recovered the fucking ball, how would you even...
Don't say nothing.
Right.
That's the best way to alleviate it. Just don't say nothing.
You know what? That's our little football tease, because we're probably going to get a little angry about that. I know I am.
Cowboys anyway. Suck.
The one
Cowboys
thing I suck. Thought that was also... about that play was that Camu
was this the Rex?
He's the one that recovered it, and he's the one that made the statement that the Cowboys always choke. So imagine if that set the whole pace for the game, that the guy that said the Cowboys always choke recovered the opening kickoff.
Well,
that's that's our season in a nutshell once again.
Yeah, you're right. Even though I was about to try to get off of that and okay. interrupted, but that's right,
yeah, was that one of the wrecks?
Yeah, that was
your moment. Eruption.
That was an erection.
Yeah, Rex eruption. That's worse. We'll find a good word for that.
Go with erection because it sounds like a Chinese guy not saying it the right way. All right, we are going to start with the Philadelphia Flyers. This is our year, volume 43.
All right.
Been 43 years since the championship. And the Philadelphia Flyers are 12-13-4.
I'm going to have to correct you. This is incorrect. They're not 12-13-4. They're 12-17. They just happen to get a participation point.
You're right.
Just like the Eagles, if this was hockey, they would be what?
At the bottom of the list.
Yeah, 6-6-1, not 6-7.
Right,
So keep that in mind, those four at the end. People always forget about that. They're not one game under 500. They're five.
But again, we have Paul Holmgren to thank for the built-in 3-4 more year rebuild because didn't like what Hextall was doing. So... and by the way, they're minus 16 in differential. That is the second worst in the league.
They're not a good team.
No, they're terrible.
I think it'd be complimenting to say they're stuck on the wheel of mediocrity because they're not mediocre at all.
They're below mediocrity. They're seventh in the Eastern Division. Seventh?
Or the division, not the conference. The conference are second from the bottom.
They're second from the bottom or something like that. They're just terrible. It's
no heart.
And this is the year that they were supposed to be playing better, regardless of goaltending. You were supposed to have guys step up on defense. You certainly haven't seen anybody step up on offense.
It's still kind of early, though, isn't it?
Oh, jeez. Don't you go there.
Hey, I like to be optimistic.
You have to be if you're a Flyers fan.
I like to think I'm going to bang the hottest broad in the bar every time, too. And
there you go.
I usually have to pay for it. But hey.
They're 30 games in on an 81.
When you pay, you know you're guaranteed. You guarantee the service.
Okay, on another show.
And there it is.
whoa, is this the Rob V show?
Oh, my God. There we are. Intertwined again.
Rob looks like Pops has got your corner over here.
Be careful. He's going to call in now.
Yeah, he's going to call in.
Five, four,
hey,
three,
listen.
Two.
Keep that to our show.
All right. Flyers. Once again, thanks for being here. We appreciate you taking up space. 10-9-8-76ers. We're moving on to basketball. I think last night is a pretty scary game. We can go into all the reasons that I watched that fucking debacle, but now that you don't have Saric.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you don't have Covington. Hey, if only we had someone
and Diaz.
He went there.
There you go.
It's true, though. It's true.
All right. Well, Butler is your Saric and Covington, and when he sat down last night, they were extremely one-dimensional, Butler is not injury prone.
He didn't play at all though last night.
No, he was
hurt.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he's injured. I mean, he's averaged like 16 games sitting down the last like 2 or 3 years or something.
I'm okay with that.
Okay. He's got a lot of miles.
It's not
you right there, Sunshine? I'm good right now. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's not unrealistic that, because Embiid last year, he only played like 63 games.
Well, it's okay, but what I'm saying, without him in the lineup and the other.
Yes, you are missing a lot. You are missing a lot.
You're missing a ton.
You're relying on J.J. Redick.
Yeah, he had a
Redick
could,
Redick is so
cold. But that happens,
It does. It does. And the planets didn't align for them, obviously, last night.
Yeah.
But they were up. What?
I mean, but that's Brooklyn. You're still supposed to. I mean, certain teams, you're supposed to just smash. There's just no other. I can see if it was a top-tier team, even in the Eastern Conference, where it was Toronto, Boston, or somebody like that, where you're normally going to lose. But when you're up against a team like Brooklyn, no. I mean, what was his name? Dinwiddie? Dinwiddie. Yeah, I mean, come on now. He had 39 points. He was playing on a a 10-day contract.
No. He's been on their team for 5 years, four years.
Okay, and he's on a one year deal or.
No, I don't think so. I mean,
I think he had a night. He had 27 points.
39.
Yeah, 39. Well, he had 27 through the third quarter. I couldn't watch it.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
I mean, the thing is, this is one of the things I would make the trade 100% of the time, 100 out of 100 times. But this is also why you see where the people that didn't like the trade.
I didn't like it.
Butler trade?
Yeah, I didn't like
it. You still don't like it, though.
No, I don't.
Still don't like it.
No.
I mean, the reason
we talked about that, you're full of it.
No. Rewind the tape.
How could you not like the trade now?
I didn't like it initially because you have to look at Butler from a standpoint that it's an issue with him everywhere he goes, whether it was Chicago.
What are you talking about?
Minnesota.
He played 5 years in Chicago.
Okay, 5 years.
His contract was up.
His contract wasn't up. He got traded to the Timberwolves. Yeah. And I kind of felt like, okay, maybe he's going with his old coach, which is Tom Thibodeau.
But so he re-upped for one. Well, hold on a second. But look at the direction the Bulls went. All right,
they're rebuilding. I give you that.
Let's talk about. Remember, this is the NBA.
Right.
This is the veteran chase league.
Right.
All right. If a player isn't happy, and he makes it known, there is a really really good opportunity. He's going to get traded.
Right.
Fact. They'll figure out how to move him.
It would depend on the caliber of the production.
Well, Butler is a caliber player.
Yes, he is. I'll give him that.
He is a number one player on a bunch of mediocre teams, and he's a number one associate player on good teams.
Yeah.
He's part – if you can pair him up with two other good players, then you have something. But therein lies the segue into – one of the things I have written down here,
okay,
and we can talk about Fultz all day long.
I'd rather not.
Please don't.
Leave that to his therapist
or his gynecologist,
so right, yeah. Or his thoracic outlet, unnamed doctor who gave him the thoracic outlet syndrome diagnosis.
God.
We still don't know who said that.
Anyway, how long of a leash are we going to give Ben Simmons and a jump shot?
At least 5 years.
Well, I was watching something on television.
I mean, that's just what it's going to be.
No, I don't. This is it. After this. Like, coming in the next season, he needs to have something. Because
is this something he's not working
looking
on?
At Andre,
like, I can work Andre on a Iguodala jump shot in this much time.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're looking at Andre Iguodala all over again. That separates the good players from something that's great.
Right.
You know, you
– But, like, okay, so how does he keep getting a free pass here?
He's not getting a free pass.
Because he's 6'10 and he can drive the lane?
Yeah. This is kind of how it is, and I everyone hates it. This other conversation I have with this dude, we have the same thing every time. When he was coming out, he was his comps were like a mixture of LeBron and Magic Johnson,
right.
But he can't shoot.
Right.
He can't shoot. Now, and LeBron couldn't shoot coming out. Magic Johnson definitely couldn't shoot. Jason Kidd could not shoot.
Okay.
But they have 12, 15-year NBA Hall of Fame careers.
Are you comparing?
No. What I'm saying
Ben
is
Ben Simmons to Magic.
No,
Johnson.
Didn't see this coming.
No. This is ridiculous. This is annoying.
Oh, geez.
When someone is being drafted at the top in the top three, they always come. What he could be like is.
You're right.
What he could be like is. If you want to know a player that he kind of compares to, not that. Oh, he's going to be this way. What I'm saying is. He can't shoot. He couldn't shoot. There's some people that thought Brandon Ingram was the better prospect. There's some people that still think Brandon Ingram is a better prospect.
They did. And
he can't
D'Angelo
shoot.
Russell.
So when you're saying, no, let me tell you, this is exactly what's going to happen. He's going to have, we already have him for 4 years.
Right.
Okay. They're going to give him a max contract after next season. That's what they're going to do. It's how long of a leash? That's how long it is. Now, for other reasons, fit and personality and stuff like that, we might trade him. He's not – I wouldn't say he's untradeable. Looking back at it now, would you trade him straight up for Kawhi? Sure, I would do that.
No, you can't. That's not a straight trade.
Why not?
You already know what you have in Kawhi. Yeah, I don't think –
That's right. But what happens is Kawhi is older. And if you're start, Ben Simmons is a great starting point. This is how,
Whenever I do this,
it always sounds like I'm defending all these guys. What the problem is with the whole...
it does sound like you're defending
But there's got to be a sense of reality.
What you say about my brother?
Well, it's got to be a sense of reality in this. Like right now we're saying, like for example, Carson Wentz, right? We're getting into the Eagles. We'll get into that. But, you know, some of the idiots that, you know, Carson hasn't been winning or he's quote-unquote not clutch. It's his second, third full year. And somebody like... I think Ike Reese or something today tweeted out, like, would you trade Carson Wentz and start Nick Foles and stuff like that? That's just dumb. That's just dumb.
Because that's Carson, stupid.
We expect him to get better, right?
Well, it's the same concept of the team not revealing to Carson Wentz that he has a fractured vertebrae. It's fucking media idiots trying to gain attention.
But what happens with this Ben Simmons thing or the Joel Embiid thing or the Markelle Fultz thing or any other player is that he was drafted at age 19, 20. He's not going to peak till he's age 24 to 25, 20, somewhere in there. And it might be a little bit longer in the case of like a Kyle Lowry.
Okay.
And it could be a little bit. Hold on for a second. Does he need to shoot? Yes. Is he flawed? Yes. But unfortunately, we're not. This is what's going to happen. He's going to take a three. He's going to miss. The next game, he takes two threes. He's going to miss them both. He's going to keep shooting and missing. And then we're going to have this conversation about, man, what are we going to do?
All right, reel it, man. Slow down there.
Slow down, Hollis.
So dumb to have the same conversation over and over.
We got away from Hollis tonight for one fucking show. And he showed up.
Picked it up. I think Diaz picked it up. Well, only thing I was saying was he needed to at least attempt it. I'm not saying, come out and shoot half court jumpers or nothing like that. But if they know the sag off of him, which basically may give him two to three feet because they know he's coming into the paint. He could
take that shot.
I'm talking from the free throw line in. It's not a thing. All he's doing is dunking and laying the ball up. If they can't stop it, I'm all for it. But at some point in time, it's kind of like when you're watching football. When Donovan McNabb stopped scrambling so much, people said that, all right, well, he's not a pocket passer. He stopped running as much because as you get older, you know you're going to slow down.
Right.
It's that simple, and you can't run forever. Same thing. Only person that was able to do it and have longevity was Michael Vick. And had Michael Vick been a full-time
starter, that's because he got a 24-month break.
Yeah.
Yeah, that too. Well, there was as he got older, he continued to run. But he was only in basically either mop-up duty or backup.
There was a play, and I agree with it. I just, to keep on hitting on it over and over again, it's tiresome and –
No, that's enough. That's enough out of you. That is you.
No,
you just got muted.
Twice in one show.
That is you defending this fucking team again.
Cold blooded.
He has to start shooting now.
Yes, you're right.
I am okay with the time frame that you are you're talking about here. And yeah, it's a few years till they peak. I get it. He won't shoot at all.
Yeah, I was getting a little worried.
And that right there almost makes me think, dare I say it, it's almost like Fultz and he has a case of the yips. He doesn't want to take a shot.
Right.
He doesn't want to fail.
Yeah, and I've seen him
at attempts at shots.
Right.
And the only way that he is going to get any better is if he shoots. And the only way this show is going to get any better is if Connie sits in.
Woo! Con!
Hi. I feel
so lucky.
Are
you pulling a microphone
right
in? You might as well.
Hello. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
And there is the operations director of the Green Legion. What are you doing? I'm happy to have you here.
I was charging my phone, and then he made me a drink, and he was like, all right, you got to stay. And then he was like, you have to go in and get on the show. So
I'm sorry, guys.
See, I told you can be influential if you want
to. But he also told me that I could just come in here and not say anything, and now I have to.
Okay, no, you're good.
What I was going to say about
Thanks, Tony.
There was a play last night, or a sequence last night in the game in the first quarter. I'm going to say Simmons brought the ball up. I don't recall. What he did was the ball went down to Embiid, and Simmons went down behind him on the opposite block looking for the ball. It's like, yo, man, that's Embiid's space.
Yeah.
You got to move out. And then when Embiid didn't pass the ball, you saw him kind of give up his hands like this, Simmons did. It's like, yo,
so let me ask you
got to clear out.
On that particular sequence, who was guarding him?
Simmons?
Yeah, probably somebody 6'3".
I mean, it was someone obviously smaller. Yeah. And
there you go.
But if Embiid gets the ball in the low block, he's not looking for someone else to throw to the block.
But with that being said, how often Does Embiid actually go on the low block?
Thank
because
you.
To me, he doesn't have any post game.
Now this is interesting.
Oh my God. This is a good point.
I have numbers. If you love the numbers, I have the numbers. Year one, he shot 22% from three. He shot at a rate of 22% from 3-point line. Year two, it was right around 21, and now he's back up to like maybe 22, maybe 24% of all his shots. He shoots anywhere from 16 feet and out. I think it's 17%. He's on the post maybe 33% of the time.
Hold on. Joel Embiid, again, this is another thing, and I'm trying to find it quickly.
Go ahead.
Joel Embiid leads the NBA the last 2 years, this year individually and last year, in plays from the post. Okay, so however we feel about Joel Embiid, there is no one else in the entire league the last 2 years that have played more in the post than Joel Embiid. So maybe we don't like the current NBA and how the NBA is about spacing and three-pointers and all that, which is fine.
Then why do I watch this game and I see him sitting at the top of the key?
Yeah, and he's always been okay.
Why
with
is
that.
He at well, the three?
There's a couple things. Okay there's a couple
we've
things.
We've discussed this because, hold on. I want you to talk, and then we're going to take a quick break, come back and talk Phillies and Eagles. But this brings up a little bit about the small comments that were thrown under the rug real fast about Embiid, since Butler got here, not being happy with his offensive
alignment.
Where he's supposed to be. And he said, I want to play more in the post. Are they putting him up at the top of the key?
Yeah.
Why do I see him there all the time?
This is,
I don't want him taking those open shots. Well, we've talked about this before.
But he's done that before.
I was going to say, I watched the Toronto game after our last sports blizzard, and they got behind, and they were raining all these threes down, and that wasn't working. But Embiid was on the taking threes, and I'm like, he should be down below so he can get an offensive rebound. Well, and they weren't getting any offensive rebounds.
But even on that note, okay, think about how many steps it takes Joel to get from the top of the key down to the bottom of the paint.
Two steps.
And there is so much space. Why is he not at least giving a fucking fake chuck and then taking one or two steps or taking one step and shooting a fucking free throw where he doesn't even have to jump?
Well, both of these
from free throw, he's 75%.
Yeah, this is one of the reasons, and they interact is because Ben Simmons doesn't shoot, right? So what is Ben Simmons' most effective shot?
Dunk.
Driving to the hoop.
Yes.
Now, if Joel Embiid is camped out down there, no one's driving to the hoop. That's this whole space thing. So when people are like, oh, he should be down the post. When you put him down the post, that's like when there's 8 seconds left or 6 seconds left in the clock, and you're just like, we got to get a shot off. We'll throw it down here. I prefer that too. But with Ben Simmons not shooting, you keep the key open. You keep the floor open for those drives. The most effective shots are layups or free throws, three-pointers, and layups.
Yeah.
So the problem is if Simmons would shoot a little, and he's not.
But that's understandable. But now with the comments he made, most people made it seem like it was directed toward Jimmy Butler. I don't feel like it is.
I don't think it was either.
But it's always a thing of,
well,
okay.
And you see how Jimmy threw that under the rug?
Yeah, because
he was awesome at it.
Yeah,
like,
because it was
he goes, well, you know, this is coming from the best guy on the team, the best player on the team. You know, that's a veteran move, right?
Yeah. And then not only that, into your comment, they could always run a high-low or a pick-and-roll where it's Simmons and Embiid. And it, you
or
know
Butler Embiid. Or Butler and Simmons.
But you know Simmons is not going to shoot, even if it's a pick-and-roll towards a basket. Mm-hmm. It's easy set up for an alley-oop or whatever may come about. They just don't run those plays. It's a spread-out offense. It's almost like they're a European team with all the three-point shots that they're putting up. And the problem is they don't have the same shooters as they did last season.
They should not be relying on three-point shots because they're
not a three-point shooting team.
Yeah. I was going to say.
Although.
Anymore.
I think one of the thing that I thought we were going to start with this is when we see the lack of our two guys is just, we'll always talk about Embiid. We'll always talk about Simmons. And we'll always talk about Butler.
And you will always talk.
Right. But the lack of depth is more alarming. The reason Toronto didn't have Kawhi last night, and they beat up Golden State in Golden State without Kawhi because they're a good team. and all those guys that we can't name off their the top of their head, their seventh or eighth guy would start on this team. So it's not – those guys are what they are, and for good and for bad, you know, they're
get
all three
to
of them.
The
gonna,
point.
They're all going to be all-stars. What I'm saying – what's more alarming is the fact that we don't have anyone that can cover guards. Nobody.
Right.
Not Redick. I mean, Fultz would
Butler. Butler.
Butler can.
Butler can.
Yeah,
Butler.
But
100% Butler can. Butler's one of the better defensive players.
Oh, yeah, he's an all-defensive player, but he's more effective on wing, small forward wing guys. Point guard's not really his show.
You don't think JJ?
Well, even Butler himself had, was
How about TJ?
Butler himself was praising – TJ's
How about
not
BJ?
Bad. Butler himself was praising Simmons for being able to guard one through
five. How about an AJ? AJ? What's an AJ? If you don't know, you can't afford it.
That was a Z. That was a ZJ, though.
Oh, was that a ZJ?
It was a ZJ.
Oh, that's right. I fucked that up.
Was this from 1988? Damn it. Was it from 1988?
Beer Fest.
Beer
Dick
Fest.
Watt.
Come on.
You know what? We are going to take a quick break. Before we go, a note. Again, the Green Legion, the Sports Blizzard, does love our military, and we have an announcement to make when we come back. I do have a quick announcement for Diaz. And I'm going to mute him before he can respond. Right before we go to break. And I didn't have it up because I had the volume off. And Diaz. All right. We are back on the Sports Blizzard here atop our beautiful Northern Liberties studio. City looks beautiful tonight. It's a great view from up here, isn't it? I didn't think you were back yet, Diaz. Are you there? There you go.
Yeah, she looks like a snow bunny.
She is a snow bunny. She
no snow.
It's great. You can hear her from afar.
Yeah,
she is a snow bunny.
It's funny how confused we all get whenever a lady enters the studio.
We lose our fucking
hard
minds.
Time talking.
Again, you guys,
not just any lady.
The Sports Blizzard is sponsored by Miller Lite, Yards Brewery, Stateside Vodka, Bucks County Baseball Company. That's BucksCountyBaseballCO.com. 422 Jeep Limerick. All the Cavanaugh's restaurants here in Philadelphia. Delilah's. Bourbon Blue in Manayunk, the Bayou and Cactus right next door, the Manayunk Sport and Social Club, and all of the City Fitness locations, Northern Liberties Graduate Hospital, South Philly, Fishtown, Logan Square, and Market East. And big Green Legion announcement.
Huge.
Huge right now, and we're going to – who? What is that noise?
It's not me.
Doesn't it sound like something's echoing somewhere?
Sounds like the squirrel in the Christmas tree, Griswold.
I did hear something. Like rattling paper or something.
God, I fucking hate you.
Pardon my French, but you're an asshole.
So over Thanksgiving, we were able to bring a couple military families together. We took care of our friend coming out of the Marine base in North Carolina, which is... I can't believe I...
Fort Lejeune?
Fort Lejeune. Yeah.
It's in Jacksonville, I believe.
Jacksonville, North Carolina?
Yeah.
Camp Lejeune.
Camp Lejeune.
It's not Fort. It's Camp
Fort
Lejeune.
Would be an army.
Yeah. Camp Lejeune, back to his family in Mobile, Alabama. I knew I could say that. Blech. And we also were able to fly home our good friend Colleen Kudrick's brother-in-law from Djibouti, Africa.
Djibouti.
There's
now. Djibouti. I know that's why that came across of interest.
Oh my God! Will you stop screaming?
Djibouti.
Damn, DS. Trying to run a show here.
Right next
Not
to
going
Somalia.
To the red lights. Yeah, which is a hot zone, as our merchant marine here knows. So we want to up the ante here at the Green Legion, and we are going to do so. We have a tremendous budget that we're going to offer right now, and we want to bring our troops home for Christmas. So, simply put, if you're listening to the show, if you are a client of the Green Legion, if you've done something with the Green Legion, if you know anybody within the network that has a military member that might not be able to get home for the holidays because it just might not be in their budget at this time, we do not give a fuck. We want to get them home. So, to anybody within the sound of my voice, have them reach out to us, Quimby at greenlegion.com. Have them go to the Green Legion Facebook page. Reach out to Diaz. Message us. Text me at 267-259-3237. Call me. Whatever we want to do or however you want to do it to get our troops home. We want to try to make a few more families have an excellent Christmas this year and are elated to be able to do so for anybody that's willing to take us up on the offer. So we are going to move forward after that. And we're going to start talking a little bit of Phillies.
And, all right.
He's listening right now, so we're going to get a call in from our official Sports Blizzard Phillies correspondent, Chris Sack. Chris, if you're hearing me, it's that time, brother. Phillies making some moves, making some not moves so far.
Yeah.
It's an interesting offseason so far. I am surprised as hell that Machado and Harper are still on the board.
Yeah, well, Machado, I'm not too surprised about him.
Well, it's not a problem, but those guys are the market setters, and they can take. They know they're going to get signed, and they're going to take their own time. They want to maximize.
Do you think do you think it just goes up? I mean, I'm surprised somebody hasn't just dropped.
Well, I think that there might be a few offers on the table. I was watching something about Harper, and it was quite a few teams that basically getting into a bid war. But I think that he might take his time. Was best for him and his family.
Hang on a second. Chris, are you there?
Yes, sir. How you doing, brother?
I'm good, man. How about yourself?
Good, good. Hey, I just heard the announcement about bringing the military families home for the holidays, and my wife said, you know, Quimby sometimes can be a D-I-C-K, but he's awesome with this kind of stuff. So
sometimes.
Well, tell her I don't think she's a B-I-T-C-H, but...
I thought it was funny because she had to spell it out because we don't want Jacob repeating it. So
I got you. How old is Jacob now?
2.5.
2.5, and that little bastard remembers that already?
He's already dropped. He's already said asshole and shit because of me. So,
well,
you know, yeah. I'm surprised he hasn't picked up the other things that I say during the course of Eagles games this season. So we'll leave it at that.
I can tell you if he needs a replacement godparent, I already like the kid.
Well, I haven't gotten them baptized. I mean, we're not really religious people, but okay. Hey, right. maybe eventually after the second one comes in March, maybe we'll do them both.
maybe if divine intervention takes place again and Foles leads us to the promised land.
You know, I don't even want to comment on this.
At that point, you're going to have to give up something.
I know you guys got Eagles talk coming up, but I'm kind of at a crossroads because I love Wentz so much, and if Foles does well, all the people are going to be all over Foles, and they're going to be trashing Wentz, and the radio has just been terrible the last 2 days talking about how he's faking an injury.
I'm logging off of Twitter if not Nick Foles plays
he's
well.
He's not faking that injury.
Were you listening today, Chris, about somebody reporting that the Eagles medical department did not tell Wentz that he had a fracture in his vertebrae so that he would continue to play?
I did see that, and I just was reading an article while I was listening to you guys on Twitter about how Wentz is seeking outside medical attention just because they can't trust the medical staff. So
it's what? Amazing.
Does anybody actually believe that?
Well, I do.
I mean,
so do I.
We've got some of the best research hospitals in the entire world here. People come from all over the world for treatment to this city, and we can't protect our basketball players or our football players. What the hell?
Well, I got an answer for that.
It's like what you guys said earlier, okay? Everybody pretty much sold their soul to the devil for us to win that Super Bowl. This is what you have to – you reap what you sow, and if this year is going to be what we have to – was what we have to sacrifice after last season, I'll take it.
Yeah, I hear you, Chris. Let's talk about free agent signings here. Let's talk about one of the things you and I discussed earlier today, because I really enjoyed your take on it. Not only your content, but the way you delivered it. What do you say when the Phillies come out publicly and talk about how they're not going to get outbid for Patrick Corbin, pitcher from Arizona, And
yes.
then he goes to Washington. Give us your take on that.
Well, it's kind of like what we discussed earlier and what I said. I think they pushed the price to a certain extent just to see where he would go. If they got him, great. If not, it was either he was going to go to the Yankees or he was going to go to the Nationals. Now, he went to the Nationals. That's great. You know how much they're paying Strasburg, Scherzer, and Corbin next year, including bonuses? $100 million between the three of them. Woo. So not only are you putting another arm who this guy in his career, he's already had Tommy John surgery. You're going to add another arm to pretty much Scherzer. He's a bulldog. I don't think that guy's ever been hurt, but Strasburg is injury prone.
Well, Strasburg's had Tommy John surgery as well.
Yeah, well, he had that years ago. Yeah, but even last year, he couldn't stay on the mound. So I kind of look at it, the fact that not only did they have him sign a pitcher to a six-year contract and take $100 million out of their payroll for three guys on a 25-man roster, now you kind of took them out of the running to sign Harper, because you're not going to sign him to a 10-year, $350, $400 million deal.
Good point.
At that point, because then you're going to have four guys at $135 million. Like, you can't build a roster that way. And you can bash Ruben all you want for what he was doing in 10, 11, 12. But even at that point, they had 8, 9, 10 guys that were all payroll was about $120 million. If you want to take four guys at $130, $135 million, you're weakening the other franchise. They can't get the small pieces that really add up to championships.
That's extremely.
That's what we're seeing with the Sixers. You're too top heavy.
And, of course, Diaz had to bring in TTP.
I'm not even going to get started with Diaz. 5 years for Simmons to shoot. Come on, man.
No. I said till he's an effective league average shooter, not two shoot.
How long did it take you to propose to your girlfriend, Diaz?
Well, I'm 41, so I definitely took my time. But
did it take 5 years?
Nah, it didn't take that long.
There you go.
Eventually, if I have to wait five years
for this guy to shoot, I'm going to kill myself.
No, not to start to shoot, just to be effective. League average.
That's
how long you're going to have to wait. It sucks.
Here we go again.
All right. Yeah, the next time I'm in studio, we'll talk Sixers.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, that's not what you're here for.
Chris, what's your
take? I know, we're here for Philly, so let's keep them coming, Quinn. What else you got?
Let's go. What's your take on the possibilities now of Harper and or Machado?
Well, I posted this on Facebook, I believe, last week, that the Phillies talk so much that if they don't come away with a big name guy, and that's including a trade, because at the time they were being linked to Madison Bumgarner.
Well, we could talk about that actually taking place with Segura, but
well, Segura was a good trade. I'm giving Klentak his props so far, but Segura is going to be your two-hole hitter. McCutchen is going to be your five-hole hitter. So you're looking at your lineup right now. Now, tell me what sounds better to you: Cesar, Segura, Harper, Machado, Hoskins, and McCutchen, or Cesar, Segura, Odubel Herrera, Reese Hoskins, and McCutchen. What sounds better to you?
Well, hold on a second. Now let's rewind that statement real quick. So if we sign Harper and Machado, which is not happening.
No, I'm saying Harper or Machado.
If you sign Harper or Machado,
they automatically go into your three-hole.
Oh, Harper or Machado. Okay.
Yeah.
And then Hoskins.
Yeah, Harper or Machado.
So hold on a second.
I'm not getting greedy.
The Tan God is going to take Reese out of the two-hole and put him in the cleanup?
They already said that they see Segura batting second.
Really?
Well, that's probably the most appropriate. I mean, do you think above 300, good on base?
Do you think Machado
doesn't strike out? He struck out less than 70 times. He bats over 300.
He doesn't walk that much, right?
He doesn't walk a ton. But for a guy that puts the ball in play, I'll take it.
Yeah, right. Especially with only 70 strikeouts.
Okay. So that being said. So far, it still sounds like a hooker wish list.
The thing is, about this hooker wish list that you're talking about, it's when the owner wants to go out and say, we're going to spend money, and we may be a little stupid about it, put your money where your mouth is.
That was a huge mistake, wasn't it? Wasn't that a huge mistake to say something like that? I mean, it sounds good.
It sounds good
in the Daily News. It sounds good on the radio airwaves. But from an actual, I mean, they must have been going crazy down there at Citizens Bank Park.
For a negotiation standpoint, and Scott Boras is going to sit there and look you in the face and say, well, you said you're going to be stupid about it. Because Scott Boras is the best that there is. And, you know, that's Harper's agent. And I keep on hearing that if the Phillies are going to get Machado, they're going to have to give him a, you know, a godfather offer, you know, make you an offer you can't refuse because he wants to go play for the Yankees. Bottom line is you can't go into this offseason that you've been preparing for 5 years. Now, they keep on saying 5 years. I'm sorry. They've sucked the last seven. And I'm a season ticket holder. And, Diaz, I know you stuck it out with the Sixers just like I've stuck it out with the Phillies. At the end of the day, you need to bring in a big-ticket item, and you need to put butts in the seats. And you need to have a lineup that can actually produce and hit. And what they've trotted out there the last 4 or 5 years, especially offensively, has been offensive to the fans.
We've
been paying for that.
I didn't know you were going to hit that offensively as offensive. I'm so happy with you right now.
I know you are.
Do you think that Machado is out of the running for the Phillies because they signed Segura?
No. I think if there's one team that can get Machado to play third base, it's the Phillies.
Yep, 100%.
Plus, he also has a rapport with Segura. They are buddies. I don't know, you know, how great of friends they are. I don't know if Johnny Hustle is great friends with Gene Segura like that. But at the end of the day, if you can get either Harper or Machado, I mean, especially, I would prefer Harper over Machado. I wouldn't mind Franco coming back and playing third base next season, because then at that point I might get a little greedy and want Nolan Arenado to play third base after next season. So,
that's not a bad point at all, right there.
I'm a big Arenado fan. I would take him in a heartbeat. But I really think that they need to make three more moves. They need a back end of the bullpen guy, which they've been really linked to Zach Britton. So if you bring him in, you solidify your bullpen at that point. You've got Zach Britton, you've got Sir Anthony Dominguez. As much as I hate Neshek and Tommy Hunter, you got them in there, but then you got Nicasio and Pazos in the deal with Gene Segura. So you have a strong bullpen at that point. If you solidify the back end, you need to get a number two starter to go underneath Nola, because Arrieta seems to be shot. And you don't know what you're going to get with Pivetta and Eflin, or Vinny Velasquez, which I think they should shoot him to the bullpen. And then you need a middle of the order bopper. You get those three guys along with McCutchen and Gene Segura. They can compete in the National League East. If they don't do that, the Nationals have gotten better, the Mets have gotten better, the Braves have gotten better. So you need these pieces to be able to compete, not just in the National League, but in your own division.
Do you like McCutchen at $50 million for 3 years at this point in his career?
He's 32 years old. He's an on-base guy. Now, I saw a clip with him with John Clark earlier at the airport.
Johnny Airport.
So I saw John Clark with a clip of him earlier, and he's like, you know, I don't think I've ever played a full season in a hitter's park. And I think the guy can hit 20, 25 home runs. I think he can hit 270, 275. He's a professional guy. He's a leader. He's been in the postseason. He pretty much carried those Pirates teams for years of the postseason.
That's right.
Yeah. To me, he's a professional. And it's not like he's 35. Like, I would have been pissed if they signed Jay Happ to a 3-year deal.
First of all,
there's no sex appeal to it. And why am
you don't
I
find
signing
Jay Happ sexy?
And putting him in the two hole in your rotation?
Jay Happ, Diaz finds Jay Happ sexy.
Oh yeah, here we go again. No, I got a couple. I want to play devil's advocate with you, Sack, on McCutchen, because just tell me why I'm wrong. All right, that's what this show is all about.
Oh,
saying
God.
Why Diaz is wrong.
Aging Dr. Faggot.
Yeah, great.
Yeah. Dr. Faggot!
You know, I don't like the FCC, but sometimes I wish they were monitoring the airwaves a little bit.
I don't know where that soundbite came from.
But let me ask you this. Everything you said sounds like you're defending a Carlos Santana deal from last year. Now, the $60 million, or I guess it's now $40 million after last year, we moved out Santana to get brought in.
I am so happy that we moved out Santana.
Yeah, me too. But it sounds like
Carlos Santana ever done in his career, Diaz?
Well, I mean,
Hold on, that's a very simple question.
Hold up, I can pull up his statistics. Yeah, McCutchen was at his peak a much better player. He was an MVP. I mean, but that was what, 5 years ago, four or five years ago.
Who would you rather pay $50 million to over 3 years?
To me, it's not even.
He's still above average defensively. He still swings a great bat. He still works the count, which is what everyone was saying about Carlos Santana. Oh, he works a great at bat. That's great. He bats 220 and doesn't provide the pop. You know, I'm not saying that McCutchen is going to be, you know, Pat Burrell and hit 30 home runs, but for the love of God, he's got better range in the outfield than Pat Burrell. We won games with Pat Burrell and Raul Labonte playing left field. You can win with McCutchen.
I understand
Pat Burrell
that.
Was one of the fastest guys I have ever seen.
But
you're running insane.
Yeah, to get into bed with a beer thumb girl.
My question is that we were now, you know, what I'm saying is there was a lot of praise for Santana in his past last year when they brought him in. I was like, wow, that sounds like a lot of money for and he's older than McCutchen was. But
did you know that Matt Klentak was still kissing Carlos Santana's ass after he traded him? Well, do you wonder why he was saying all those nice things after the season? Because he couldn't wait to pack his bags and drive him to the airport.
But with
and then look how fast Seattle got rid of him and sent him back to Cleveland.
I mean, looking up.
The guy is he's a decent ball player, but I think they upgraded. You get Hoskins out of left field, who was an absolute butcher. He was terrible on left.
Yeah.
You move him to first. You get better defensively in the outfield now because you put McCutchen out there. And then you bring a more professional bat, a guy that's not going to bat 220. If McCutchen bats 220 next year, I will be completely shocked. The guy is going to give you more from the right side of the plate with his at bat and his professionalism. And he's going to provide better defense for you in the outfield. And Hoskins now, there's no excuse. The guy wants to play where he feels most comfortable. Put him at first base. Here you go. I expect 35 to 40 home runs out of him next year, especially if you put another bat in front of him. If you have a Harper or Machado, they're going to be more inclined to pitch to Hoskins.
I'm just looking at McCutchen now, and I'm sorry it took me this long because Quimby's terrible spelling on our rundown. He just makes up words as he goes. But
did I misspell McCutchen?
Yeah, it's not with.
Did
a
you
K,
follow me
with a K?
Well, then you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, I'm looking at his average. I'm looking at his WAR. He's like a replacement level player, like league average guy. I want you to tell me why I'm wrong and not like opinion. Like a league average guy, $50 million for 3 years, and he's only declining. It just, yeah. Who do I want to spend $17 million on? I don't know. A league average guy that's 26, I guess, and player du jour. It just seems like a lot of money to throw to a guy that is on the downside of his career. That yeah, he's a professional, and that's all nice, but I thought the whole one A of getting Segura was trading away the Santana contract.
Well, that's a valid point there by Diaz. But let me ask you something. In sports, do you normally pay for what you're going to get, or do you pay for what someone used to do? What's the price tag?
Well, good GMs should be paying for what you're going to get. That's not always the case, though.
The thing is, you're looking at a 3-year deal. It's not like they signed him to a 6-year deal and they're taking him to age 38. They're taking him to age 35. So, and even at the back end of his contract, I believe his last year, he's only making $14 million. It's more front loaded towards this first season. So I believe his third year. Now, mind you, in 2 years after the 2020 season, who's going to be a free agent?
I don't know. You tell me. That's why you're on the show.
Mike Trout.
Oh God! Of course. I'm sorry. I'm terrible.
So it's not going to deter them in the future from making an effort and going after him. If you strike out on Harper and you strike out Machado this offseason, next year you're going to go after a Nolan Arenado who's going to be the top of the class next year. You strike out on him, for the love of God, if you don't bring Mike Trout home, Matt Klentak does not deserve a job. I give him a couple more years. If you can't bring home one of these big fish with all the money that you guys have been saving up the last 5, 6, 7 years, but still charging me the same money on my season tickets to watch crap compared to what we used to get, you better go out and get a big fish.
How is it possible of getting Trout are?
Trout wants to come
home. That?
Yeah, he wants to come home.
Trout wants to be.
Dude, so you think that they're very high as long as we have a competitive
bid? Here's what's going on with Trout out on the West Coast playing for the Angels. he not only plays on the West Coast, which two-thirds of the country does not give a flying crap about the West Coast when it comes to baseball. He's playing on the B-level market team in his own city. He doesn't even play for the Dodgers. Like, he plays for the Angels in that crappy ballpark with baseball bats sticking out the front gate with a big Angels helmet. It's crap. He does not want to be there. He is so over being there. He's been there. He's been on that team 7 years. I think he's either been first or second in MVP voting 5 or 6 of those years, and he plays on a team that's only been in the playoff one time in his season, in his tenure there, and they got swept in 3 games.
But
he wants to go someplace where he's going to have the opportunity to win, and money is, you know, money's going to come. He's going to get it.
Do you attribute two players making 70 or 65 million a year as part of the problem with that team?
Yeah, because they have no pitching.
Zero.
Oh, well, there's so many problems with them. I mean, come on, look at the contract that Pujols got.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to say how bad Howard's contract was. Pujols got a 10-year deal. Howard's with 5.
Pujols is next to what's his name out of New York?
A-Rod?
A-Rod, yeah. Probably the biggest highway robbery contract in Major League Baseball or sports ever, period.
Well, I'll say this, everyone always wants to ride Ryan Howard about his 5 years, $125 million. When he was winning Rookie of the Year, MVP, the City of World Series, he was hitting 45 to 50 home runs a year, he was making $500,000.
He got paid for what he did.
Well, the thing was, here's the thing. If Ryan Howard didn't sign that contract early in 2010, okay, which set him up for the 5-year contract extension beginning in 2012, okay, he would have hit the market with Prince Fielder and Albert Pujols. Prince Fielder got 9 years. Albert Pujols got 10 years. What do you think Ryan Howard would have got if he didn't tear his Achilles at the end of 2011 and he hit the market with those two guys? You'd still be paying Ryan Howard now.
Right. Right. I mean, that's the thing with that whole thing is the, what do you call it, arbitration. They lost every single time. After the first year, just sign him to a big deal. They would have gotten him for 6 years under $100 million probably, you know? They kept losing.
Yeah,
they kept increasing every year.
Hey, real quick, Chris, because we're gonna move on to a break after we're done talking to you, and we do appreciate you calling in and appreciate your time. You are our first official correspondent on the Sports Blizzard. Our official Phillies correspondent. I've learned more about the Phillies.
I was gonna say
in this last 20 minutes than I have reading up on them all fucking year.
I feel like I know nothing about the Phillies.
Right
after him talking.
Yeah,
I feel like I haven't watched a Phillies game in ever.
So, well, here's the deal, guys. I look forward to calling back in when we get Harper and Machado over the next couple.
Right on.
Yeah, I hear you.
Now, Zach, I got something. Welcome to the team. It's great. Your boy's going to learn a lot more curse words now that you're on our team. So just let wifey know that there'll be a lot of cursing in the house now that you're you got Quimby on.
Rachel, don't listen to Diaz. He's a fucking D-bag. Chris, real quick, give us your take on Segura. Is it a plus? Is it a big plus? Tell me where he stands, because this was a trade. How many years are left on his contract? 2?
I believe it takes him into 2021, 2022.
Okay.
So he's got about 3 or 4 more years left on his contract.
I'm a fan of it.
Did you tell me? Did you like what you saw out of J.P. Crawford? Were you a believer?
You know what? If we get 3 or 4, I think this opens up a tremendous question that a tremendous observation. I'm sorry. When you look at teams that are in contention for a title, okay?
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Your window is so much smaller in this day and age than it was 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Because everybody's looking for their max contract. You lose coaching. You lose players. People go
Absolutely.
Down with injury. You're saying that we have 20 him till 21, 22, and we can get Trout in 20?
Yes.
And all of a sudden, maybe this entire concept, maybe this whole Phillies rebuild isn't for this year, isn't for 20, but it might be for 2021 and 21 through 22. Right. And if you can give yourself a two-year window. Now, the Phillies were different. The Phillies in 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011.
No, they were the best team. They had the best record.
Yeah, they had 11. over 100 wins.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was that 11 or 10? That was 11. That was 11.
That was 11.
Oh, that was when they brought Cliff Lee back.
That's right. All right. Yeah. And Royals.
And in all fairness, Hunter Pence,
Don't mention that name, Quimby.
Okay, well, then don't ever mention.
I hate Hunter Pence. Don't talk about
him. Did he win a couple titles though? I mean, he's a world champion. You got to give your respect.
That's what pissed me off about Pence, because when we started out the 2012 season and we had no Howard and we had no Utley for the first 3 months, he had no balls in the clubhouse. He didn't say one word to anybody.
He had high socks.
I see him in San Francisco giving pep rally speeches when they're down 2-0 to the Reds in the 2012 NLDS, and he's all of a sudden he's this magic leader.
So what do you think the difference was between here and San Fran for him to have that difference of personality?
I think in that aspect with San Francisco, they had already done it.
Well, he was among his people, like Diaz. Favorite place is San Francisco, isn't it?
One of the greatest Green Legion trips of all time. I got to the Skywalker Ranch. On Pleasure Island Blue Angels.
Can we let him finish, please?
Yeah. Wait, hold on. Like you were in San Francisco on Pleasure Island, Diaz?
Rex eruption.
Was it Treasure Island or Pleasure Island up there? I don't know. It was awesome. Greatest party I've ever been to. Yes.
But Rex, back to your point. I don't know what the difference was in the clubhouses were. So I can't really speak to that. I mean, I know they had Lincecum, they had Matt Cain, they had Buster Posey. They all done it in 2010. To where he got to be that comfortable in his own skin. Maybe it's because San Francisco is on the West. Like I said, the West Coast isn't as, they're not as on you as they are in the Northeast. Like you're in a microscope in the Northeast. And a lot of times, what you do tends to be overanalyzed. And what you don't do is also overanalyzed. And I see him doing that out there. And I'm like, well, where was that same energy? Where was the rah-rah chance? Where were you at during the first 3 months? Like, in 2012, the Phillies didn't get eliminated from playoff contention until the final week of the season. They finished 82-82, but they were a half game out of the wild card at the end of the year. So they had an opportunity to be there after they got all their pieces kind of back and healthy. They dug themselves such a big hole in the first half that they just dug themselves out.
Painful memories, Chris. Painful memories right now.
You know, Quimby, what is not a painful memory was 2015 when we did the Green Legion trip, and I was there for Cole Hamels' no-hitter, baby.
That a girl.
I was there, too.
Well, you guys were in the city.
Chris, hey, it's funny because that's the perpetual lie with the Green Legion, but we'll bring that up at another point in time.
Don't let them all the house secrets here.
Hey, Chris, thanks, man. We just discussed with Chris being our official Sports Blizzard Phillies correspondent tonight, and we appreciate you pulling the reins and taking a hold of that. We are going to talk to you many more times about this, man, and we're looking forward to what you bring to the table. Yeah, awesome stuff, brother. Really, really awesome
stuff.
Anytime,
guys. Anytime. Thanks for having me, and I look forward to these conversations and talking to Phillies baseball. Anytime you guys need anything but Phillies baseball, is my number one.
Hey, do me a favor. Kick your dad in the nuts for me.
if you can find him after being at the Army Navy game the other day.
That's a whole other story, I guess, right?
God. Hey, Chris, thanks, brother. We will talk to you soon, man.
You got it, guys.
Happy holidays to you and everybody.
Happy holidays, guys.
Good night.
All right, brother. So, again, more than I've known about the Phillies in fucking ages.
We have to ask him what he thinks about Gabe.
I have an answer to that, but we're going to come up with that when we come back from break. Actually, we're going all Eagles all the time when we come back from break just after this song. All right, we are back on the Sports Blizzard for our final segment Again, let's go over our sponsors real quick because they are important. Make everything happen. If you're drinking beer, you're drinking Miller Lite. If you're not drinking Miller Lite, you're drinking Yards. Diaz is pounding down some Brawler as we speak. Stateside Vodka distilled, right here in beautiful Fishtown, section of Philadelphia. Bucks County Baseball Company. Don't forget to hit them up. BucksCountyBaseballCO.com. 422 Jeep Limerick. All of our Cavanaugh's restaurants, Riverdeck, Head House, right off of South Street. Rittenhouse, between 18th and 19th on Sansom. Our good friend Paul working the bar downstairs in the basement. And of course, Brian up at 39th and Sansom, and where Diaz and I used to go to school. All of our friends at Delilah's, the beautiful girls that have been at our tailgates every week this year. And the Texans game will be no different.
They've been awesome.
Yep. And our friends in Manning Bourbon Blue, the Bayou, Cactus, and Manning Sport and Social Club. Do not forget as well about our great friend Ken Davies and all the City Fitness Philadelphia locations, Northern Liberties Graduate Hospital, South Philly Fishtown, Logan Square, and Market East. Diaz, do me a favor. Shut that door.
All right.
I can hear that getting louder out there. Our green room is getting a little loud. All right, guys.
You know how Tony can get.
that Rex was funny.
Yeah, that was.
Where's the applause?
Get that ready.
How about no?
How about no? Again, kind of like the trip in late October, the name in which we no longer speak. This is what it sounds like to be an Eagles fan right now. Here's the deal. We don't have our shows until Wednesday. All right. And sports radio beats the dead horse for 3 days. You're probably tired of hearing it. We didn't come until Thursday on this one. But it has to be talked about. The officiating, as the NFL is requiring more and more of officiating crews, they seem to get worse and worse in every element of the game. Is that a statement that every one of you can subscribe to?
Yes.
Yeah.
The Giants game was a great example where it was awful for both teams. It wasn't like it. I don't think it decided the game, but you could see how like both teams could complain.
Right.
This is awful.
It's to the, and I think. Pops, you said it. It's been like the last month.
Yes.
And it started, yeah, exactly what we talked about.
When they made the announcement.
Well, no, it when, yeah, yes.
All-star referee team.
For the Kansas City Rams game that got moved from our friends in Mexico, who are more worried about moving drugs than they are taking care of grass. Hypocritical statement.
Well,
there.
Yeah. Grass is grass.
It was the Shakira concert.
Was it the Shakira concert?
That's what happened. Yeah. That's what happened.
And to be fair,
shaking her ass.
To be fair, the Premier League teams are complaining about the state that we left their grass in Wembley Stadium. Oh, we brought up London. Quimby's gonna have
what did we bring up?
He's gonna have a
Voldemort.
We don't talk
the
about
name
it.
In which we no longer speak. How can you, as an intelligent human being, look at the first play of the game on a challenge of a fumble that suggests the Eagles recovered, but the question mark was whether or not he was down by contact, and that was why the Eagles challenged it?
Right.
Now, was there a clear view of the Eagles recovering the ball? No. There was a clear view of five of them ass-fucking that ball.
On top of it.
With no other Cowboys even close.
Not at all.
Even close. They literally made that ball their bitch. And KG comes up with it. Hey, what? At the bottom of the pile, when there is a fumble, whoever, if they can't make the call, and a player comes up holding it.
The player that's holding the ball.
That's who fucking recovered it.
Right.
Right. That's who recovered it. We couldn't see that somebody put their hands on it.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
Are you kidding me?
No, you were. Cowboy was a person that actually fumbled the ball, and he was like the sixth person that was closest to it, and the other five were Eagle players.
There was nothing but green.
They were walking back to their sidelines because they knew the play
actually,
was over.
The defense was already on the field for the Cowboys. Yeah.
And the announcer was like, well, that's a great turn of events for the Eagles. They're going to start with a takeover on the very first play. Like, everyone was just, this is what happened. This is exactly what happened. And then it didn't. I think the problem is the rule book is too big. It's like the freaking law code of the United States where you have to.
Now, you're right. And I'm going to interrupt, and only because I think the Carson Wentz roughing the passer call when they hit him below his knees was bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, we don't want to talk about it because it didn't go in our favor, but that was completely. A mirror image of the Bennett call that fucked us
exactly
a couple months ago.
Yeah, I guess you figure you start on a bad note, you're going to end on a bad note.
Well, right? the thing is with that, though, is that call has been made, and they announced it before the season, and they don't want Aaron Rodgers going out for the year.
What are you going to do, man? You have an offensive lineman that took you down, and you're scrambling to get to the quarterback. You didn't twist his knees. You didn't go after him in any malice whatsoever. He's a fucking football player.
I agree. Exactly. I 100% agree with what you're saying, but that's this fumble was just – it's never happened before.
Oh, well, no, if we're getting back to that, yeah. Has anybody ever heard that in a football game?
Especially only time I've heard that is I want to say it was the Dolphins and the Pittsburgh Steelers. It did happen one time before.
Well, are you making that shit up, Pops? No.
Let me guess, it went in the Steelers' favor.
Be careful when Pops opens his eyes up.
And this one happened in the end zone. And I believe it went in the Steelers' favor. This one happened in the end zone.
But how long ago was this?
About two, maybe three seasons ago at the latest. Right.
But would that have been considered in the NBA like a jump ball? It wasn't four Eagles that were on the ball.
I mean, it was a clear recovery last Sunday. That was clear.
Which, by the way, we do want to send out some excellent wishes to our friend Luis Dominguez, who was extremely happy about that.
Did you see that ending?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that was amazing. I was watching that with my friend going, there's no way. Oh, what? No, there's way. Oh, holy.
Oh, he turned on the afterburner when he made that cut, by the way. Who was that?
Kenny and Drake?
Drake.
Wow. And you know what was? I'm sorry.
Seeing Sour Puss.
No, the best part about that was watching fucking Gronkowski
try to make that tackle.
Oh, man, he looked like a mannequin
out there. I was so happy he tripped. I'm not going to lie.
That's got to be another thing where, first, back to this fumble thing. I tweeted out right away, the NFL's rigged. That's the only way. The NFL's rigged. The second thing is, are we to believe that Bill Belichick, the master of defense, the master schemer, he thought Ryan Tannehill was going to throw a 50-yard bomb into the end zone, so he put Gronk all the way back.
Actually, it would have been 75 yards.
Whatever the case
on a bad shoulder.
Yeah.
I mean Gronk is your most athletic defender.
You still expect him to make that play. A lot of people were saying.
I disagree.
A lot of people were saying, yeah, he shouldn't have been back there on that play.
Gronk is
like one of those things where it's
good.
Put him back there. Yeah.
He's athletic, but he's not. And if he makes that tackle, he should have been.
He's athletic, but he is not that guy.
It's easy to say in hindsight. I mean, even if it comes down to a jump ball tip towards it lands in someone else's hands, who do you?
But that's ridiculous. Tannehill's never going to throw that pass.
Yeah.
So I could see if you want him back in the end zone to bat it away, which obviously is not what you do, and they keep doing it.
Yeah.
But you. Maybe you want that guy up there for that jump ball, but he's not going to throw that pass.
Right, he's nowhere near that. He was nowhere near that to possibly make that pass. Totally agree.
All right. Well, let's get back on the dossier. What do you say?
All right.
Dossier.
All right. Carson Wentz. We can all agree, not been playing well.
Not at all.
No.
All right. We brought that up on the show about a month ago. I think when you and your brother started coming in.
Yeah.
Sorry. When we all merged.
Yeah.
Sorry. This is not our show to have you enter. This is our show.
all of us. Even you, Rex. You're,
well, Rex is just drops in.
You're low man on the totem pole, but you're getting up there.
I'm on the couch.
That's where it starts.
First of all, let's put this to rest real quick. Nobody on the Sports Blizzard believes that the Eagles brass or medical team told or didn't tell Carson Wentz about a fracture in his vertebrae.
It's stupid. It's impossible.
It's impossible. Can right. we all agree on that?
Yes.
Yes.
Can we all agree that somebody in the Philadelphia media was trying to use that story to get some attention?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Who was that?
Probably know? Someone that needs ratings to drive their income.
Yeah. Okay. Well, whoever that is, you're a douchebag, and I have one thing to say. If I can do it.
That's what the New York fucking media does.
How about new?
All right. Everybody happy about him sitting? I think it's time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, me. Definitely.
There's no reason for a setback at this point.
Yeah, my only question about the whole situation is, would he have, had they won this past Sunday, would he have sat?
No.
No, he didn't play.
And that's one and that's one of the issues, because for me, looking at since he's been back, everybody has
which
agreed.
Means there's no crack in the vertebrae.
Right.
Well, no, I mean, well, not necessarily. Cam Newton, was it last year? It was the year after his MVP.
This past season. Past season.
He played. He was wearing a flak jacket. He played with a cracked rib. It's pain, man.
A cracked rib is different than a cracked vertebrae.
It was a cracked vertebrae. Okay. And Jay Ajayi played last year, right? Yeah, was it this year?
Yeah.
And he's a running back. He gets hit more than the quarterback does.
Well, it doesn't matter. You can't hit the quarterback anymore.
Yeah, that's right. So there's a pain management thing. If they had won and there was still a reasonable expectation,
that's not where I was going with it. I was basically going with the fact that initially when everything happened with him, they said he possibly missed the first 4 weeks. If you look at when he came back to throw the ball, he's actually pushing the ball and he's not using his legs at all.
Right.
Not, therefore, if it was a back injury or a back issue, it came from that directly. My thing is, allow him to sit out those first four weeks. When you have a better cohesion with the offensive line, which should have been there from possibly day one because a lot of those guys have already played together and familiar with each other. Then also, you kind of get a better feel for an identity of the team. It seemed like they just not got an identity on we need to run the ball against Washington.
Right.
And it shouldn't have. I take that back. And then
they ran the ball seven times.
Yeah, and it's like, what the hell are you doing?
And they weren't behind. This is a perfect segue, actually, into, all right, you're right, but now let's broaden this spectrum, because I guarantee the fucking knuckleheads over on 5th and Market, and that's WIP Studio.
Whip.
Bala Kenwood Plaza, one Bala Plaza.
I'm okay with 97.5. You know, there's
Fanatic.
I'm good with the Fanatic, obviously.
They're the ones that we're talking today, though.
Well, here's the deal. When Foles puts up the performance that he did against the Bucs in Week 2,
okay,
after putting up how many points against the Falcons?
15?
Yeah, 16.
Something
weird.
16-13
or something. Yeah. Okay. As a team, or as a fan base, everybody starts calling for Carson, okay, and the team is, you know, hey, if he's ready to go in some capacity, an 80% Carson is better than 100% Foles at this point. So, Foles, and this is all while Alshon was not playing, no Golden Tate, right?
The line hadn't played line at all together at in all. Preseason.
No fucking running game.
I think we're missing is the offense. I mean, the defense. The defense was terrible.
Defense
against
was fine. They gave
against
up
Tampa Bay.
Against Tampa Bay, they were fucking horrible.
He gave up 27 points.
So, unfortunately for Foles, all right, could he find an open receiver?
No.
Was anybody open?
I don't.
Probably
know.
Probably not.
Nah. Yeah. I saw a couple. But it wasn't on his
regular progression.
So, how do I feel about Foles coming in? Hey, win me 3 games.
Yeah, right. but also, if you look at the same game, we're not talking about anything further beyond that. The same game.
Okay.
I'm going to send you back to the Hollis Thomas School of Speech.
27-21 at the time. The defense needed to make a stop in order to get the ball back.
The defense.
At least.
Hold on a second. Hold on. Ready? Let me tell you about that game.
Okay.
Okay. You and I, all right, we're a little bigger than most people.
That's right.
Hell yeah. All right. You know how long you would have lasted in a football uniform at that game? I could barely keep my legs under me in the stands after drinking 6 liters. Full liters of water.
Oh, yeah.
It was so fucking hot in that stadium. All right. Tampa, Miami, Jacksonville. All right. Guess what?
Mid-September, hurricane weather.
Yeah.
Dude, you guys should have put a dome that should have been required.
Something.
It is terrible.
But the baseball stadium. At the tailgate, no lie, I mean, I was walking around with a beer and a water. Or two. Drink of water, put it down.
How hot was it? It was 95 degrees at game time.
Oh, wow.
All right. And because the offense couldn't stay on the field, the defense was gassed, man.
Yeah.
There is absolutely no way that you can replenish. I don't give a fuck.
IVs, nothing. Yeah, right.
You could tap that shit up to B12 after every time you come off the field, but there's no way you're going
to
replenish.
You have to have potassium, too.
They were gassed, dude. Gassed. So.
Yeah, but- I mean, anyway, I guess just looking at it in that nature or that that I think for me, Tampa Bay, they just jumped out. They jumped out to a big lead. Initially, it was,
they had the beard.
It was what 21 nothing.
Well, the first play of the game was to Deshaun on a fucking 80-yard bomb.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure the Eagles did win time of possession.
Right,
and it was like the whole second half. It was all Eagles.
You gotta realize that Foles is very hot and cold. Like, even at the end of last year.
Well, we're also finding out that there was not a very good game plan for Foles because Frank Reich was not there. Be honest. But let's because we're going to spend way too much time. We are over an hour and a half right now with the show.
I gotta throw this out there, though. We're talking about Foles. He's walking after this year. Is it time for Sudfeld? I think it's just give him some reps, see what you got. Foles isn't here.
They're pretty high on Sudfeld.
I know. And these are some actual games. I mean, you know, I don't want to throw him to the wolves, but this is why
Point in time,
you need
hold on a second. Hold on a second.
Now, hold on.
I don't believe you play Sudfeld this week.
Sudfeld.
I said Sudfeld.
You said Sudfeld.
Field. Okay.
Sudfeld.
Field. Felt.
I think they need to get Foles out there to show how much he is worth. So they can.
They
trade
can't
him.
Get him.
They can't.
The trade deadline's over. You.
It's
dumbass.
Over. He's a free agent next year. No, he's a free agent.
He's a free agent.
Rex,
we can get nothing.
Welcome
for him.
To the game. He's a free agent. You cannot trade him.
Hold on. Diaz, can I see you in the green room for a minute?
I can't even mute him. Can you talk?
Yes.
Ah, yeah. Damn. All right. Here's the deal. Eagles can still make the playoffs. Are they going to?
Quimby.
I'm talking – here's the deal. As a team, all right, you cannot concede right now. You can make up a bunch of bullshit about your Messiah and your second pick. No, I'm talking about Wentz.
Oh, okay.
All right,
okay.
You can make up a back injury for the fact that he's not playing well because his knee – or he's not comfortable on his knee yet.
Right.
You can do that. And I'm okay with that. And at this point, I even said it right after the game, sit him. Okay? There is no reason. However, you still have on your bench the Super Bowl MVP. I know. However, imagine this. Just saying. Imagine on the first series of the game in L.A., Fletcher Cox comes barreling up the line and gets Jared Goff in an uncomfortable position, throws him down on his shoulder, it separates, and they have to go to their backup. All of a sudden, this is a winnable game. Okay? It is.
Right.
Now, do I feel as though I've already ran it on Facebook that I think they're fucked. But as a football team, as a franchise, you cannot give your fan base the impression just yet that you're throwing in the towel.
Right.
Which is why you have had a fucking trump card, not the one you hate. You've had a trump card in your pocket all season. And that's Nick Foles.
Yeah.
You've had.
Well,
hold on a second. How many people after the Dallas game said, I want to see Nick Foles? How many people after the first half of the Dallas game said, I want to see Nick Foles? There's one person in the studio raising their hand.
That's because you're an impatient prick.
Fuck you.
I think it's unfortunate that this Super Bowl MVP is Mr. Irrelevant.
He's not Mr. Irrelevant.
I think he is.
No, well, not really.
No one's talking about him.
But if you look at it from a standpoint of they still have a shot to make the playoffs for the simple fact that
they only need to win 2 out of 3.
Right. And
Minnesota and Carolina have to lose one game.
Right. Because Carolina, well, actually, they should try to win all three, but Carolina has to play the Saints twice, and I believe it's.
No.
Yeah, they do.
Twice? Yes.
They play on Monday night in the last game of the season.
And they're playing fucking awful.
And they're 6-7 as well. Yeah, the only difference, only thing is.
The thing, Minnesota has that tie.
Yeah, but Minnesota still, they have to play Chicago.
And they beat us.
They have to play Chicago. No.
They beat us. Minnesota beat us.
Okay, but they still have to play Chicago. And Green Bay.
Minnesota's.
I think they play Chicago, Green Bay,
and
Detroit. The
remaining schedule for us, Minnesota and Carolina, I think we're 1-2-3, if I'm not mistaken, as far as how difficult our remaining schedule is.
I'll tell you in a second.
I think that's the most reasonable thing. Yeah, Nick Foles plays until they're mathematically eliminated, and then you play Sudfeld.
Why you play Sudfeld at all?
Because they want to see if he's your long-term backup. Nick Foles is out. Nick Foles is out.
Why wouldn't you play?
Because
if you're out,
if they lose Sunday,
and they're out, what do you play Foles? He's walking. His contract's up.
You know what?
At the end of the day, you do need to see what Sudfeld can do to find out whether or not he's a viable backup.
Right.
But at this point in time, no.
You
don't do that.
I know, but what I'm saying is, once the Eagles are out of the playoffs, officially out, don't you just say, he's walking, we're not going to pay him whatever he wants?
I think he deserves at least enough to say, okay, it's possible that he's going to finish his career. That'll be his possible last game. So you just say, okay, the season's over.
Is that Foles?
Yes, I believe this is it. Because if you remember, when he came back, he was about to retire.
No. He's going to – well, the only element about this is his family is perpetually wealthy because of their restaurant
that his father. Yeah.
But if Nick has this one iota of being independent, he's going to get a 1 year, $20 or $25 million. Arizona gave Sam Bradford $20 million.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He played 7 snaps.
Yeah, he played like 3 games.
Okay, but at the end of the day, who's going to give it to him? That's my next
question.
Someone
will.
Somebody.
Or someone will give him $20 million to be a backup.
What are you talking about? Who?
Who?
All right, hold on a second, Al. Because you are way too black to be an Al.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Hold on. Who goes down in training camp?
Point taken. Well, possibly.
But it won't. It won't.
Go to
it won't come to that.
Okay, I'll take it back. He can go to Washington.
He'd go to Washington very quickly.
Yeah, it'd be a nice stopgap in Washington.
We have got to wrap the show up because we have gone too long. We agree with this.
It's been too long. That's the problem.
But here
we're all built up.
I got you. Let me run for this length of time. I know there is, but I want to run through my remaining points. I want each one of you to hit on anything that taps you.
Okay.
All right. All right. First of all, you don't have to run hard with this. I want to thank Chris Randolph from Fishbone in Dallas. You put on an amazing tailgate for my clients. You were very accommodating when we were clearly the minority fan base in that in his place. And he made sure that everybody loved us. He got on stage, said, hey, Quimby and the Green Legion and all of his fans are here. He make them feel welcome. It was really great. Dallas fans in Dallas are great.
Oh, they're the best. They're so nice.
Except for an institution I'm going to get into.
Yeah.
Dallas fans in Philadelphia suck. So the ghetto piece of shit that said something to my friend Captain Demps, if I ever see you again, I'm going to slit your throat.
Oh, wow.
And the views expressed by the Sports Blizzard are... No, I'm going to fucking...
I don't condone that.
I'm not going to slit your throat. I'm going to punch the ever-loving shit
yeah,
out of you.
Yeah, wait.
I'm going to beat
that's
you.
That's an accessory.
I'm
gonna
beat you
Charles Thomas did not
I'm
agree to that.
I'm going to beat you within an inch of a life. You are a fucking scumbag. There's no reason for people like you. Go to fucking hell. First half play calling was terrible. There's no reason for three runs for Carson. None of them worked. Rasul Douglas, I hope you bounce back. I think you had an amazing game.
Perfect safety. Just put him at safety.
And I want to know, most importantly, not why Jake Elliott can't make an extra point.
Yeah, that's pretty depressing.
Most importantly, I want to know why. You were in this game the entire time. You weren't coming from behind where you had to pass the ball. You ran the ball with running backs seven times. Whoever... It is devising this offensive scheme. Get out.
Hashtag grow gotta go. Grow gotta go, yo.
It's not even. That's awesome.
Grow gotta go.
It's not even Andy Reid. It is so terribly lopsided. Terribly lopsided.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Seven rushing attempts with running backs.
And how many? It's probably only two. If there's seven. But Josh Adams, you just punch him up the gut, even if it's a yard. I don't want to see a sweep. I don't want to see an around.
If you're not going to get any fucking points in the first half, which you've done consistently all season, then I want to see you running the ball three fucking times every series up the gut with offensive linemen cutting knees.
Something.
Do
yeah,
it.
Give us something.
Fuck. Get them ready for the fucking third and fourth quarter. Terrible. And that, my friends, is my showcase for Get Off My Chest.
All right.
Who wants to get something off their chest besides me?
Oh, I'll get something off my chest, Quimby.
Excellent. And is it me?
No. I mean, you've been actually pretty easy. I haven't seen you in about 3 weeks in a month, so you've been out of my hair, which is it's always the best. I'm off the Eagles, dude. I'm off the Eagles. I'm looking forward to we just announced our Phillies trips we got coming
nice.
Up in March.
Yep.
And that it sounds like self promotion, but I'm thinking, you know, I'm going into Sixers December, January, February mode where there's not a whole lot of there's gambling. That's fun.
Giggity giggity.
But, you know, there's not a whole lot of like things to root for. It's the dog.
Sixers.
Yeah, but it's kind of like I want to see the Sixers in March. You know, the trade deadline's in February. Right now they're hurt, they're injured, they're figuring things out. And I want them to win every game I'm going to watch, but I'm not going to flip out about it one game or anything. But, man, I'm kind of excited that we might have some good Phillies action this year. We got some Sixers trip.
Feeling better after Chris talked about it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, makes you feel like the warm weather again, and I really just want to reset on the birds.
Yeah, it's time. It's time to power down.
Yeah, power down.
Power up cycle.
Right, and that's why I suggested the Sudfeld thing. It's just like, let's see what we got. Let's see what we got, you know,
yeah.
And go from there. So, sorry about it, but I'm off the birds.
All right.
Pops?
This week I'm pretty good. I don't really have too much to get off my chest this week. I mean, it was kind of a depressing moment and point for me more than anything else with the loss to the Cowboys. I mean, it was just one of those things to where it's now you have a lot more annoying fans starting to come out of the woodwork when it comes to the Cowboys. Like, you know, I told you so. Other than that, I'm good.
Rex?
Well, we can always talk about the officiating.
Yeah.
That's a never-ending get-it-off-our-chest topic. But, yeah, and to maybe change little gears, but the NCAA and their college football playoff picks, that can go suck
how
a dick.
Georgia is not in there is disgusting.
Yes. Absolutely.
Well, if you have one team, they need one team per conference. It's all about money.
Not
it doesn't
really,
mean anything about
last
competition.
Year they were Georgia and Alabama were in last year.
No, that's not the case.
No, I know, but that's not the case.
Georgia should
have moved up from four after their performance against Alabama, which they lost within the last minute and a half.
I think
they
outplayed
them.
I think that second loss hurt.
But you have to have fucking Notre Dame in there.
You have to, yes.
And Notre Dame
they were undefeated. They were undefeated.
I don't give a shit. They were fucking terrible.
True.
They weren't terrible. Come on. They weren't terrible. We're gonna
add that. You'll see against Clemson.
Hold on a second.
No, they're going to lose to Clemson. I'm a Notre Dame fan. They're going to lose to Clemson. I'll concede that. But what I'm trying to tell you is that
the top four teams are Alabama, is Clemson.
Two. Notre Dame, three.
Notre Dame, three. And?
Oklahoma.
Guess who?
Notre Dame should not be in that conversation.
Oklahoma beat Army by 4 fucking points. Army's great this year, but they are not that good.
Right.
I don't care. Notre Dame has one of the weakest schedules.
Never.
I disagree.
Always.
No,
always.
I disagree.
They play the Pac-12.
I fucking disagree.
They play the Pac-12.
They don't play a powder puff. They do not play a 1AA team any year. Every year, the big schools play a 1AA team.
But the Pac-12, and that's the Pac-12 should be in
Pac-12
the high school.
Pac-12 is powder puff.
Yeah, Pac-12 should be in high school.
I like that.
But Diaz, you know why Notre Dame is there? One of the biggest reasons? They sell a lot of fucking tickets and advertising.
That's right. Hey, you're not going to get any defense from me, Conroy. That's some sort of Irish name. Your parents went to an Irish Catholic school, and all of a sudden, you're a Notre Dame fan. You have nothing to do with Notre Dame. You're not from Indiana. You never went there. That's enough from you. Mute him!
Diaz, green room, now.
Everybody, we're going to say goodnight on the Sports Blizzard. Do not forget, Miller Lite Yard, Stateside, Bucks County Baseball, 422 Jeep Limerick, all the Cavanaugh's restaurants, Delilah's, Bourbon Blue, the Bayou Cactus, Manioc Sport and Social, and all City Fitness Philadelphia locations. We'll see you next week on Wednesday.
Peace out.